I want to introduce Brother Dan DeLong, and it's wonderful to have him here. I told him yesterday, I'm so pleased that we have a missionary, of course, to kick off our Missions Emphasis Month, but also a veteran missionary. And he's going to tell you a little bit about what he has done and what he is now planning to do and explain the work. I told him just take the hour, whatever the Lord leads you to do. He's going to talk a little bit about the field, I think, show some slides, and then whatever else amount of time you have, brother, just use it any way you'd like. But we're certainly glad that you're here. Thank you so much. Welcome to sunny, warm Indiana. Amen. Come on up here, brother, and we'll just turn it over to you.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Well, who would have thought that I'd been in the Annapolis area preaching on Super Bowl Sunday? And the Bears and the Colts. Now, I was raised in Ohio, but I've been a Bears fan since birth. So in Annapolis, it was my second favorite team. This missionary is sucking up to everybody in here, isn't he? Yeah, amen. Get that support rolling in. But yet, honestly, who would ever thought of that? And then the cold is, Al Gore's warming. Yeah, right. And it was so cold this morning. When I got up, I heard a dog barking through the front yard. Opened my door and looked out, and there went a beagle chasing a rabbit. Both were wearing earmuffs. So you know it's cold. One of my older sisters, she's a snowbird down in Florida. They're on their way down there, and she called me from Orlando. Hey, how hot is it there in Indiana? I said, oh, it's about one or two, I think. She says, man, it's cold here. It's 68. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I've been razzed enough today, but praise God for heat. Amen. Now, I've been around the cold. To give a little background, I was married. My wife and I got married June 7th, 1975, right out of college, and our honeymoon was to drive to Indiana to be at our first church where he's at for 20 years. And God blessed us there. And I was an assistant pastor, dean of students of a Bible college. And in 1994, God called me to Papua New Guinea. Let me insert, when I was in that church, I ran a bus ministry there for those 20 years. We went to New Guinea. God called us there for missions in 1994. And we found a church building that was empty. And it was about, the auditorium was about this size. And the missionary's wife had died, and they went home 4 years before, and the ministry died. So we took that thing. And the first Sunday we was there, we had 40 people show up to see what the white guy looked like. See, I was the only white guy, my wife and our two boys, with 40,000 black people in this valley. And that thing grew in the next 7 years to over 450 people on Sundays. And we started not a bus ministry, but a pickup truck and then a van. And by the time we left, we had a national pastor inserted there, and had three vans and three pickup trucks, making 5-6 trips a piece out in the different villages, bringing people to church. And no laws there. You can pack 40, 50 on a truck just like a bunch of pigs, you know. They stuff in there pretty good. But God blessed there in a wonderful way, and we was able to nationalize our works. And then we had a little girl given to us when she was 30 days old in a sack. You'll see her on the slide. Her name's Selena. She's half Chinese and half Papuan, and her mother didn't want her. But her aunts, there's no orphanages in New Guinea, their aunts were all in my churches, and or churches we had started. And they brought her to us and said, we got a gift for you. And they gave us her. And at 48, I started all over again with children. She's 7 going on 17 now. And she's at gospel-like Christian school with my wife. My wife had surgery last week and on her jaw and was not able to travel, and our daughter's in school there. And so she plays the violin, plays the piano, Selena does. And straight-A student so far, and she's 24/7, and she loves animals, but anyway, we'll get into that later. But I'm a church planter. That's what I do, and God blessed us in New Guinea. We've been doing four churches. We also started two Bible colleges or Bible institutes and two Christian schools, and all of our works in New Guinea were naturalized within a seven-year period. And as we was home on deputation, furlough, we was going back and got back there, and Then we had 9/11 take place, and my daughter's citizenship got thrown out. We don't know what the situation was. We had to go to the embassies there in New Guinea and in other places, and they made a ruling that we had to have her to become a citizen. We had to spend at least 3 years in the United States or reapply. you know, 5-6 years down the road. So one of the hardest things we ever did, we had our churches were in pastors, national pastors' hands. And by the way, those churches are doing much better now with those national pastors than when we started them. Amen. They've all grown. God's blessed. And so we elected to come home. God led us in that way. And those 3 years we was home in 2002 through 2005, we as the principal and the bus ministry there at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown for Brother Bobby Robertson. And that's where I met Junior Staley. He called me this morning. He was working in my bus division. And God's blessed our net ministry. So I lost my hair because we had a Christian school with a little over 500 students, about 50 on the staff. And every Sunday morning, we ran 51 buses and 10 vans, and I had to make sure everybody got there. And it's not the bus workers that's tough. It's getting those bus drivers. And, man, one guy gets sick, and you have to call half the church. But anyway, our hearts has always been in missions, and we're going back to Northern Australia to start a church in Northern Cairns. Now, this church will be located just 40-minute flight from our other churches in New Guinea that we've started. So what we're going to do is start a church there, and Cairns, Australia had 93,000 people in it in 1994. Last January, the population has grown to 140,000 people. There was a Baptist church with a building about this size running about 35, 40 people. But in the last 3 years, they went to NIV, they went to Five Point Calvinist, Come As You Are, and bless their hearts, there's not one Baptist church of independent, Bible-believing, King James outreach, not one bus ministry in a town of 140,000 people. That's pretty sad. But man, that makes me just like a calf that found the gate open. I want to run through that thing, get started with it. But you pray for us. We have 13 people meeting in a house. I talked with them yesterday. And what they do is where I've preached across the U.S., they'll download, I don't know how they do this, download your sermons off that internet and listen to you. And so what they do, they get sermons from Brother Bobby and Paul Chappell and Clarence Sex and different, and that's what their church services are, you know. They're hearing all that good preaching. Then when I show up, be probably a step down. But amen. Well, by the way, you got to have a sense of humor on the mission field. Amen. So our goal is to get there in June of this year. We're at 85% of our support. We have 12 more churches after this one, and our visa's been turned in last week. And it was. It'll take about 30 days to see if it's yay or nay. Then we have to take a physical, wait 30 more days, and then it passes all the clearance, and then you can go to Australia. America is the only place you can walk in illegally and get food stamps. But anyway, I just want to let you know, Australia is very, very hard to get into. So you pray for us. Our thing is we're evangelism, church planting, and what we do is train national pastors, and we really work with the youth. For we found out in a third world nation, very poor country, New Guinea, averaged $900 U.S. a year. That was their income for a year. And our youth group, as I told the preacher, grew from 12 when we went there to over 135, 140 every Sunday. And I would let no one preach to them but me. And our youth there was between the ages of 15 and 22. And those folks had nowhere to go. And that's what we built our church on and our Bible college. And now those fellas are getting ready to plant churches. As we plant a church in Australia, we are, after a year, going to go help. We have two villages right now. And I'm recruiting, by the way, for missionaries, because I have two villages right now of over 5,000 people. We have 10 acres of property in each of those villages. We just don't have a missionary to go there. We have a national pastor, preacher boy there, about 21, 22 years old, but they need help. And when that American missionary shows up, things really take off good there. So you pray that maybe God will call some of you to the mission field, young or old, and just keep that in mind. Now, I'm going to show my slides. And when I do, maybe you can tell how old I am. It's not a DVD presentation. But I'm going to show you my slides. And I want you to get a vision of what we've done in the past and also what we want to do in the future. Now, I'm not a spring chicken any longer, but I'm not an old rooster yet either. Amen? And I know I've got 15, 20 years left, and we want to start 2 to 3 churches in Australia, but also partnership with our churches up in New Guinea and continue to work with them. Because me atum talk pidgin long em, you savvy, you hire neck belong me, me hama maslam look at me. I've learned their language, and that's the language of the pidgin people and also a partial language of the aboriginals. Have you ever met a missionary to the aboriginals? 1.5 million of them there in northern and western Australia. Once we get our church started, we're going to go into the Abbey lands and try to get a ministry started with them. They're very gypsy type. They're very outcast type, and you have to go to them. So you pray for us. That's why we're trying to get other missionaries to go with us, because there's so much to do. Now, when you begin to hear, where is the sound man? Where's he at? He's back in here? Hi, how you doing? So what I'm going to do is, when I turn my DVD player on, I'll turn the mic, the lapel mic on here. And the music you're going to hear at the beginning of this thing is not rock music. It's a didgeridoo. I've got one with me back there. I'll challenge anybody in here to try to blow that thing. Of course, half the kids in North America has tried it the last 15 months. But anyway, I set it outside last night, and it froze, so there's no germs on it, as I know. What I want you to do, and to take this about 20 seconds to warm up, is to ask me questions afterward. Church at the Sunday school asked at 10:30? 10:25. So the more questions you ask, the less you'll have to hear me preach. What's so funny about that? Colt man there in the back said amen to that.
Considering the Lord's command to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth, the vast land of Australia usually does not bring to mind a country being desperate or down and out. Modern cities, beautiful landscapes, and unusual animals, along with terms such as down under, the outback, and g'day mate, are the images we normally associate with Australia. However, Australia is indeed part of the world God loves, along with the rest of God's great harvest fields, including the one right where you live. Countless people in Australia have yet to hear the marvelous message of God's amazing grace. The Lord's command to go into all the world was not given to just certain select followers of Christ. It has been given to every believer. Oh, that more would respond to this command, as did David Livingstone when he wrote, "Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, sustain me. Sever any ties but the ties that bind me to your heart." Such is the desire of the DeLong family, Dan, Sandy, and Selena. The DeLongs have been privileged to serve the Lord in the island nation of Papua New Guinea, as well as in the Caribbean nation of Trinidad and Tobago. By His grace, God has enabled them to plant 4 indigenous Baptist churches. Shem Baptist Church, located in the remote bush village of Herovero in the central province of Papua New Guinea. To get to Herovero, one must take a 2-hour plane ride in a bush plane, travel by boat for 2 hours on the sea, and walk for 2 hours. They also had the privilege of starting Heritage Baptist Church, located in the heart of the capital city of Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby. Another church which has been started is the Guraho Baptist Church, located in the river village of Guraho, an hour's drive from Port Moresby, and then another 2-hour boat ride on the Brown River. In Trinidad, the DeLongs were privileged to start the Eriparo Baptist Church, located in the town of Eriparo. A crucial part of their ministry throughout the years has been the training of national pastors to lead these churches. Now the DeLongs are looking forward with great anticipation as they respond to God's leading to the land and people of Australia. Located just below Indonesia, Australia is the world's 6th largest nation. Today, the country is a unique land of immigrants, with 23% of the population of 18.8 million being foreign-born, with the largest number of immigrants coming from Asia. Most of the population lives in just 1/3 of the country, in either the southeast or along the coastal areas of the south and west, with more than 75% of the population living in modern, thriving metropolitan areas. 1/3 of the continent, which is mostly dry and arid, is virtually uninhabited, with another 1/3 only sparsely populated. Unlike America, which was founded for religious freedom, the country of Australia developed as a penal colony for English convicts. Religious leaders from England did come to Australia, but unfortunately, denominational diversity prevailed. Religion is of little concern to the average Aussie, with the primary cultural influence being to simply enjoy life. This lack of spiritual interest has produced a pronounced secular education system that impacts all aspects of Australian life. The strongest opposition to the gospel remains the general apathy of the people towards spiritual matters. A prominent clergyman commented that Australia has never experienced real religious revival. Today, Australia is a diverse, multicultural land. It boasts of vast resources, a thriving economy, and vibrant cities. However, it is a land lying in spiritual bankruptcy. Only 19% of all Australians attend a church of any kind, and a solid 25% of the people disavow any religious beliefs whatsoever. A spiritual vacuum exists in present-day Australia, a vacuum that is being rapidly filled by cults and Eastern religions. Only a small fraction of churches are truly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Herein lies the heart that the Longs have for Australia, a God-given burden and desire to reach the people of Australia with the message of God's word and His salvation. The laborers are few and the need is great. The door of opportunity stands wide open. Being sent out by Dr. Bobby Robertson and Gospel Light Baptist Church and serving with Baptist International Missions Incorporated, the DeLongs are eager to take the gospel to the people of Australia, and where Lord willing, they will pinpoint their ministry in the state of Queensland in Northern Australia. Through evangelism, church planting, training national pastors, and most importantly, reaching and working with the youth who are the future leaders of tomorrow, the DeLong's earnest prayer is to help reach Australians who have never had a gospel witness and to establish strong, soul-winning Baptist churches for our Lord and Savior. Please prayerfully consider getting involved with the DeLong's as they endeavor to reach Australians with the wonderful news of God's salvation. They covered your prayers and sincerely appreciate your financial support as they go. Together with God, you can be an effective co-laborer with the DeLongs as they endeavor to be His witness in Australia.
I failed to mention this earlier, and since I'm in Indiana, I use this illustration all over. There are more churches in the city limits of Indianapolis, Indiana, than there are total churches in all the land of Australia. And so I just want to let you know there's a great apathy. And that place was started as a prison institution, and we were started for religious heritage. Somewhere in America, they say at least 70% of our population, as it was 10 years ago, goes to church somewhere every Sunday. In Australia, less than 20% of the people there believe in any type of religion, and less than 20% of that go to any type of church.
So it's a whole different world than we're accustomed to here. They're not anti-Yank, but they have a great apathy. And you can't go door to door, as the pastor and I were discussing yesterday, but there's different ways we can reach those folks. How did we come by Cairns? That was the last international port into that New Guinea, Timor, Irian Java Island area. And when we would come in and out of there after 4 or 5 years, bringing our kids back to the States for college and stuff, there was no Baptist churches there. And God has kind of burdened us for that, but also for our folks up in New Guinea too. So we'll be having, Lord willing, Selena's a citizen in New Guinea. She's a U.S. citizen. She has that now. And she'll also be an Australian citizen. And we'll have a permanent residency in all those countries to minister. Okay? So I thought I'd give that to you. And by the way, the Aussies make about $26,000 U.S. a year compared to the New Guinea 900. So it's like almost like the U.S. and Haiti, that type of relationship and geographic and also importance. Any questions? We'll start over here. Feel free to ask. You boys have any questions? Okay. All right. Good. How about the adults? Any questions at all? No one? Good. This is great. I get to preach. How about over here? One question. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. It's against the law. You know, and what it is there can be no, what I can do there that you can't do here is I can stuff every mailbox. And you can't do that here. There, when you come up to a door, you can't knock on it. You can just, if it's burning down, you can tell them, hey, you're burning, but you can't even knock on it. But what you can do is drop a packet. And him and I talked about that yesterday. I'm going to try to not have those baskets, but a packet. And then, and this is odd, it's a culture. Out of 1,000 packets or letters that you put or information in somebody's mailbox, you'll have 100 responses. And so my goal is to get 140,000. There's people, but I would say there's about 60,000 homes. So if I get 1% of that, would that be 600 or 6,000? 6,000 to answer. And then if I get 10% of that, you know, to come out, that's 600. And if I get half of that to stay over a 3 or 4 year period, that'd be one of the largest Baptist churches in all Australia. This here, by the way, is one of the larger Baptist churches in Australia. Their church would be one of the larger ones. There's a couple there a little bit bigger, but not independent Bible believing. They just don't do. Now, the Pentecostal and every hog, dog, frog, and cult's there, but not like what we believe. Okay? So their culture is, if they were congregationalists back in England, as their great grandparents were, if they went to church and knew God, now they're going to go to church and or no, they're going to know God because of their great-great-grandparents. Okay? Any yes, sir?
Since you can't go door to door, but you can openly witness.
Yep. Yeah. Aussies can hand out tracts. Americans have to be very careful because they're very, very anti-Muslim there, more than they are so here, and they're trying to stop that Muslim thing. They've got a Catholic heritage, and you can hand out tracts, but if they say no, you can't. You know, and as an American, you can do it, but not offend people. You offend people, somebody will deport you or put you on that watch list, and you're out of the country. So you have to be careful, you know. You can't say, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Get this track. Next day, the government agencies will show up and see, you know. They call it the regional scheme visa people, and they'll show up like the FBI. We need to talk to you. Did you do this yesterday in a mall? Yes. Okay. You'll be leaving the country in a week. Get things in order. So you have to be careful that way. Okay? New Guinea, you can go marketing there. They won't let you in their houses. You come to their gates. And as a white guy, when you knock on their gate or walk in the village, you'll get attention. Australians don't do it that way. So, God said, He'll take care of all that for us. Just knock on doors. And bus routes work everywhere in this world if you do them right. Amen? So kids, we'll use kids. If the kids get to the kids, you'll get to the parents, get to the grandparents. So. And we're targeting new people that's moving up north in Australia. That's north in Australia is like the south here. They're all moving up there. And we're getting those new move-ins what we're after. People's been somewhere for 60 years. It's hard to get them to leave their church or their religion. But we don't want to proselyte that way. We just want to get converts. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Just that pidgin language for the islanders. And they speak, you know, English, but it's got a real accent. Don't ever call them Aussies. They're Aussies. So things like that, you Yanks, they say we don't talk right. But I don't think they talk right, do you? You know, amen. So no other questions? Oh my, this is great. I got 10, 12 minutes to preach at you. Let's go in the book of Acts chapter 8. Brother Townsley, it's good to see you. I was with his son, Brother Jim. I've known Brother Townsley since I had hair. And and it's good to see him. His son Luke, who's out of this church, was on my bus route for 4 years. One of the funniest men I ever met in my life. You talk about a deadpan sense of humor. is that right? He's so funny. And I'd take him on visitation. He wouldn't say much. Then he'd warm up and start talking. I'd laugh, you know. He'd talk about butchering and farming. And I was raised on the farm, too. And he'd just get me going. And so I can just imagine him down in Puerto Rico when things are quiet. He'll say, like, did you ever think of it like this in this way? And I just start laughing. All right. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 8. And now I love Brother Luke. His boss is my boss, so I got to be good, you know. And his father-in-law and I'm good friends. Acts chapter 8. Let's take a look at verse 35. We'll take 5 or 6 minutes here. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, this is Missions Emphasis Month, and I just want to encourage you. I know Derek Gotti's coming here to speak, and I've known him for a long time, and he's working with the Filipino people up there in Vancouver, British Columbia. In fact, I'm in his church sometime down in the future, don't know when. And you got Eric Miller coming. I knew him when he was just a little kid right out of law school, and him and I played ball and stuff together, and in fact, I did a youth activity probably 20-some years ago in Indianapolis. I was a guest speaker there. Eric showed up with some bus kids. And had a little blonde-headed boy. He's about 12, 13 years old. Looked like a punk with him. And way I preached, and that little boy came forward and got his life right with God. And now he's a missionary today in some European country. Don't know exact where. I preached with his ex-youth pastor here, who's a pastor out in Maryland now, just about a month ago, and told me that story. And so as I think about the people in the Missions Emphasis, what you do now will have an effect 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road. And your Mission Emphasis, and I've read all the prayer letters, not all of them, but most of them, yesterday and stuff, just going through them, know many of those missionaries. But can I encourage you that in 1982, there were 44,000 Protestant missionaries somewhere in this world. That number shrank in 2002 to only 22,000 missionaries somewhere in this world. In 2004 and 2005, 4,012 churches closed their doors in the United States of America and sold the properties. Out of that group, over 815 of those churches was independent Baptist churches. And they did not sell those buildings to go into new buildings. They closed shop, sold out, moved on. During that same time period, 1,000 Muslim mosques were started somewhere in this world. Inhabitants started. Things are not what they were in the 70s and 80s. And can I encourage you today when I speak the next 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, I'm talking about Philip's mission ought to be our mission. And you know, Philip was right in the middle of a great revival, and God was blessing him in a wonderful way. And as he's in the middle of that revival in Samaria, God got a hold of him and said, now I want you to go down to Gaza, 70 miles south of Jerusalem, and you stand there in the way in a desert place, because I've got you on a mission to witness to somebody. The Bible says here, if you'll see in verse 26 of chapter 8, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. So if I can just speak the next few minutes on this thought, Philip's mission is our mission, and you have a soul winning mission here. You have the bus ministry, you have your outreach, you have world missions. And this month here, if I can encourage you just to refocus and key in on the fact, let Philip's mission be our mission here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. First of all, let's look at the first thought, and that is this. We need to go to a people that God has waiting for us. We need to go to a people that God has waiting for us. You look in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south from the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now he had come there, and he wasn't saved yet, but he was looking for God. And my first thought is this, God wants us to go to Australia. God wants us in New Guinea. God wants us all here in Jasonville, in southwest Indiana. I thought I almost said southwest Arctica here, but God has us here. And God has people waiting for us. Did you know that? Now, you can go door to door and witness to everybody you want to, but if you've traveled long enough, been around long enough, you're going to run into people that you know that's not saved, or you know is going through a hard time, and God brings those people into your life. They're just waiting for someone to help them and encourage them. You know, and personal, and they can never overpower the thought of one soul. You know, one soul. And you know, when I went to Trinidad, we're starting a church there, and for six weeks, myself, my wife, Selena, and two preacher boys and their wives went door to door for 6 weeks, 3 days a week, 8 hours a day, and it was a very hard area, but they wanted to start a church there. And we got it going, and we had 100 people promise to come on our first Sunday. So me, with a lot of faith, I rented 60 chairs. We rented a place about half the size, and we got enough food to feed 65, 70 people. We rented tables, had the food, and have everything set up. And we opened the room, the buildings, and went around and reminded everybody to come. And guess how many people showed up? 1 8-year-old boy. I preached to him, my wife Selena, and those two men and their wives and their two kids, just like there was this many people, said amen, and we had a lot of food left over, you know, we ate. And I was discouraged? Yes. We'll come right back the next week and did the same thing. And by the way, that 8-year-old boy got saved that day. His grandmother owned the only feed mill in the area. And I would visit him the next week, and she liked what we were doing, and the next Sunday we had about 16 there. And then the next Sunday, we doubled 32. Then the next 5 or 6 or 8 Sundays, we just go around 50, then got to 60 and 70. And in 10 months, we was averaging 120 people. But it all started with that one little boy got saved. And that grandmother, I didn't know this till after the fact, she came and got saved. And everybody that would come to that church that lived in that area got a 10% discount if they'd come to church. Hey, man, I didn't know it. I didn't know it, but sitting there in her driveway before we come home, she said, "Brother DeLong, we were just waiting for somebody. We're just waiting for somebody." Arapaho was a town of about 5,000 people, not one Catholic church, not one any church. There was nothing there. And you couldn't preach the gospel the first time you saw these people because they didn't understand it. They're an African, Hindu mixed type of people. Never heard it before. But you know what? God has people waiting for us. Number two thing here in this story, I want you to see this. Our second goal is we go to Australia. You go to your missions emphasis here this year. Number two, we want to follow up what God's already doing. Look at verse 30 and 31. The Bible says here, "And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Understandest what thou readest?' And he said, 'How can I except some man should guide me?' And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." You know, God's already working in people's hearts. And he don't need to be told how to do things. He just needs to have you to be that witness in a kind and a man and in a way that has what I call it some just direct them to God. People's waiting out there. And you know, you don't see that till you go to the foreign field. You don't see that till you travel much. And sometimes we get real busy and we get everything going on in our lives with that mission that Christ has us for. I don't want to preach my second hour message, so I'll move on here. Number three, look at the third thing here in his life. Number three, we want to watch God's Word do its work amongst the people. Verse 32 there says that the place of the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." Opened he not his mouth. You know, that there fellow in that chariot, that Ethiopian, you know, he didn't understand everything. But when Philip began to explain it to him, the light bulb came on. And when that light bulb came on, Philip could see God's Word working in that man's heart. Have you ever seen somebody who was one of the roughest cob you ever saw in your life, the meanest drunk you ever saw, and then the Word of God saves him? And you think you're doing the disciple, but the Word of God's changing him? And he goes, "Man, I never saw that. Man, I never saw that. Man, I never saw that." And we older Christians, we just kind of, "Well, we'll see how long this will last." You know, we get that way. But folks, we get to the place where we don't let God's Word work in our hearts. We'll begin to fail. on that mission field and on your mission here, let God's word work in your heart this week, this next month, through the pastor and through these missionaries. You've got a burden for missions, but ask for God to give you a bigger burden. And watch how God will bless. And the fourth thing is this, and the last one, we want to be available to go where the Spirit of God directs. Look at verse 40 here. And Philip was found at Asterus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. You know, Philip led that guy to Christ. They stopped that chair and got baptized. A guy who took the gospel on down into Ethiopia, and Philip got back to where he was supposed to be. But what he was doing, he was always available to go where God wanted him to go. He says, in this story, it says this, go, follow, obey, join, be near them, preach to them Jesus, baptize them, and just keep right on going. Well, how deep was this theology? Verse 35 says, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, I'm going to tell him that. Can I tell a Steve Irwin story? Y'all, if you never know, and Dr. Charles King's a friend of mine. He runs that Bearing Precious Seed Ministry out of Milford, Ohio. You're a friend of his, is that his son-in-law? You know him, I think, is that the pastor there. And anyway, Dr. King was at a conference in California, and he said, you never know the power of witnessing to one person. Missionary Bill Bartlett was out there above Brisbane, Australia, and had a small church and a VBS last summer. And as he was knocking on doors, he had invited this little girl to come out, and her mother was an American. And he didn't know, but it was Steve Irwin's wife. Irwin wasn't there, and that little girl came to his VBS, and she got saved. Well, the next week, that pastor, that missionary, and his wife, following up on all the people that were visitors, went to Irwin's house, and Steve Irwin opened the door. He said, man, you're the crocodile man. I didn't know she was your daughter. He said, yeah, come on in. He said, what is this salvation thing my daughter got? What you want to baptize? What's this all about? He explained him the scriptures and showed him, and he said, you know, I need that salvation. I've never got that. He said in the next 30 minutes, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Now, we didn't know that. You didn't know that. But 4 weeks later, the man was killed there in Cairns, where we're going to start that church, right about 6 foot of water. My point to you is this. You never know when you support a missionary. Dr. King was emphasizing this. What is the difference of Bill Bartlett reaching one little 7-8-year-old girl than Philip reaching that Ethiopian? You don't know all the rest of the story, but you know that Philip was obedient, and he listened to God, and he went and joined him to that guy, and that guy got saved, and he just kept right on going. So let's let Philip's mission be our mission here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Isn't God's Word great? Amen. Amen. Let's pray, and we'll get ready for the next hour. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the opportunity to present your Word. Lord, I pray that you put a hedge about this church today and on this property and all the Sunday school classes and all the preaching services and teaching services, Lord, that young boys and girls, moms and dads and folks will come to trust you as their personal Savior. And Lord, also encourage us that are saved to be not only better Christians, but Lord, better servants for your honor and your glory. And Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen.